Okay, looking forward to having a chat to this gentleman this afternoon. Sky News Chief Election Analyst Tom Connell joins me on the phone. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you going?
Good, thanks, Tom. Thank you for your time. I tell you what, when you woke up this morning, I'll bet you didn't think what happened with Anthony Albanese was going to happen today.
No, because we sort of had this, didn't we? The National Press Club, Scott Morrison on petrol, bread, and milk prices, and the next day all the politicians had learnt their lines and they'd spoken about how, you know, sourdough costs a bit more than tip-top and all these sorts of things. So we thought, such an obvious question around unemployment, so the unemployment number, and also the RBA cash rate, which has been the same for 2 years, by the way, that he'd know. And I, what was staggering is, you know, after the gaffe, if you like, from Scott Morrison, everyone spoke about, well, this would be on the top of your notes, you know, cost of living, what are the interest rates and all this sort of thing, and he didn't have it. So it's not defining yet, but it's a pretty bad start, and it plays right into the coalition's hand because they're trying to say inexperience on the economy, you don't know these basic measures. So heads were spinning a bit. He had a mea culpa. We'll see if he can have a reset.
Can I ask you this question, Tom? Was he better to make the mistake now and get it over and done with, or would it have been more beneficial to the coalition if he made this same mistake with a week to go before the election?
Definitely. It's better to make it from his point of view now rather than the last week of the election. There's a couple of reasons. You know, that's in the heart of pre-poll. We're expecting record pre-poll numbers. Spoken to the AEC about that today. So that's, you know, that would have happened on the day or the days ahead of people actually voting. And that is when people increasingly tune in. It's a six-week campaign. It's not the best time in the world to do it because it's day one of the full campaign. It's the first full day. So ideally, you would have done this on a Friday at the end of the first week when people are sort of like, okay, yep, I've had a little whistle and I'm going to tune out now. So it could have been worse. It could have been better in terms of timing. On one hand, does it put him off his game? We'll see. At least there won't be any hubris from here on in. All the, you know, Labor insiders have said they're not taking this for granted, a lot of a seat-by-seat battle. But I think, you know, preparation will just go up a notch now as well.
Do you see this campaign as playing the man more than other campaigns that we've seen in recent times?
I think it probably will, but part of that reason is there are two things you usually fight over, policy and personality. Right now, between the two major parties, there aren't big difference on policies. Tax, the only difference there at the moment is Labor talking about a bit more on multinationals, which people don't usually really care if Apple pays a bit more tax, for example. Childcare, they've both got policies that are a bit more generous. Labor's a little bit more so for higher income earners. We're not talking about a, you know, a massive difference. Defence even, there's a lot of rhetoric there, but there's very, very little actual difference on policies where they head into the campaign. And even industrial relations, Labor's sort of spoken about getting people more security in their jobs in the so-called gig economy, so Uber drivers, but it's not a drastic change. So if there aren't big tax debates to be had, what have you got left? Well, you talk about whether the other person's fit for office and when they're stuffed up and maybe, you know, whether their hair looks good on a Wednesday.
Talking New South Wales, what are maybe the top five or so electorates that we should be keeping a close eye on, that the politicians are certainly keeping a close eye on?
You can mark down Reid. It's Labor's best chance of winning one from the coalition. New South Wales is their weakest territory, I'd say, just with the margin. So that's in the inner west. Macquarie is an interesting one. It's 0.2% the margin, and that's just outside Sydney. It's also where there's been flooding lately. So that's a Labor-held seat. If they lose that, even amongst all the complaints around handling of the flooding, what does that say about New South Wales? So that'll be a really close watch. Eden Monaro, which is sort of wraps around Canberra, I think is an interesting one because that's often been a bellwether seat. So is Robertson. That's actually the longest bellwether, and by that I mean whomever wins the seat wins government. So Robertson there on the central coast. And I'll just point to three that are around the Hunter region because these are traditional blue-collar Labor seats, big swings against Labor last time around. Labor feels confident that it's sort of, you know, not as anti-coal, if you like, this time around, so it should be okay. But the government's talking this one up behind the scenes. So those three seats sort of as a region as well, I'd keep a close eye on.
With Queensland, we heard Anthony Albanese saying last week that he thought they were, he felt confident of, you know, I suppose half a dozen different seats. If Queensland win those half a dozen, if Labor Party wins those seats in Queensland, have they won the election? Have they got over the line, considering what we're thinking is going to happen in New South Wales?
If they win half a dozen in Queensland, yes, they've got over the line. Right. Now, they could still lose some in New South Wales, but they're going to pick up a couple in all likelihood in WA. They are likely to pick up one in South Australia. So you add those together. The other thing about winning six in Queensland is I just don't think they'll do it. And if they have done that, you're going down the pendulum and you're talking about seats. If they're going to win six in Queensland, maybe they win Ryan at 6%, or, you know, are they going to win perhaps Flynn at 8.7%, or even Capricornia at 12.4%. Those last two sound like big margins, but they swung massively to the coalition last time. So is there room to swing back? So the problem with New South Wales and Queensland for Labor is where the margins blew out last time, Longman is the closest they are to winning a seat in Queensland, and even it is 3.3%. So depending on your definition of marginal, you want to be under 3% with your strong chance of winning a seat, barring a big swing. So that's the problem for them in Queensland. Look, I think they're a possibility to get two or three. If five or six happens, what that tells you is there is a big swing on in the state, and if it's swinging that big in Queensland, it'll be going to a degree in other
parts. The dominoes will fall. Tom, I've got to go to the news. Thank you for your time. 41 days to go. Can we talk again?
We can. No worries.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate your time. That's Tom Connell.